If you would stand tonight, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. The book of Numbers, chapter 13 tonight, beginning reading with verse number 26. Numbers, chapter 13, and verse number 26. Now, there's something I'm wondering tonight. How many is glad to be in the house of God on a Sunday night? How many is glad that on a Sunday night we can still join together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? And when we come together as the people of God, we can worship the Lord. We can bless His holy name together because He is worthy of all of the praise that we can give Him. And when we hear His word tonight, let us respond. Let us rejoice and worship the Lord because He is good tonight. Amen. The book of Numbers chapter 13, verse number 26. I'd like to say how thankful I am for all of you that are in the house of God tonight. As well, I'm thankful to your pastor for entrusting me with his pulpit tonight to preach the word of God, believing that God is going to move in a mighty way in this service tonight. We're trusting Him as the source of all that we can get from Him tonight. Amen. We're believing God for great and for mighty things. The book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse number 26. The word of God said, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Notice this 30th verse. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." Now I want to preach to you for just a few moments tonight. I'll try not to hold you long on this thought. Grasshoppers and giant slayers. Grasshoppers and giant slayers. And somewhere within these verses of scripture you can find yourself tonight. You're either a grasshopper or you're a giant slayer tonight. Would you stretch your hands this way, pray with me and pray for me that God would touch me to preach His word tonight. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I need your touch tonight. I need your help and your anointing tonight to preach the word of the Lord which you've given unto me. Lord, let us hear what heaven has to say tonight. Let us hear the word of God. Let us respond to your word tonight, Lord. Let your word work in us, we pray. Let the Spirit of God anoint me to preach your word. Anoint those that are under the sound of my voice, that they would hear and receive of your word. Let us leave this place tonight challenged. Let us leave this place changed by the power of your word, by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for all that you do in this house tonight, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to help the preacher preach tonight. And make sure you don't make a liar out of yourself. Say amen, somebody. One of the many things that you will see when reading through your Bible is the whole story of the nation of Israel playing out before your eyes. All throughout this powerful narrative, you see the hand of God at work. Sometimes God was working behind the scenes. Sometimes God was working behind the curtain, and you couldn't clearly see all that the Lord was doing. The children of Israel would look and see how God was working, and they always couldn't clearly discern the hand of the Lord. But that's so descriptive of our lives as well. There are times in our lives when it is hard to discern the hand of God working. But I've come to tell you tonight, no matter at what point of life you're at, no matter at what stage of life that you may find yourself in tonight, God still has a plan for your life. There have been times in my own life when I would face troubles and trials. I would face the difficulties of life, and it would be hard to see the hand of God at work. It would be hard to see how God was moving certain situations and placing them together to bring about His plan and His will in my life. But when I look back now, I can see how the hand of God was clearly at work. You find in that Old Testament book of Esther, there is never a mention of God. All throughout that book of Esther, there's never one time that God is mentioned. But when you look at the story, you can see how God was at work. You can see how His hand was clearly moving. I can tell you tonight that even when you don't see His hand at work, He is still working. When you don't see Him move, He is still moving. And when it seems like the answer is far from you, you can know and you can rest assured that the answer is on the way because of the God that we are serving tonight. Sometimes we just can't clearly see all that God is doing. Sometimes we can't clearly see how that God is working in our lives. But we know tonight that we serve the God who said of Himself in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We still serve the God who said in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Philippians 1:6 said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you, he that hath started a good work in you, shall continue that work until the day of Jesus Christ." I've just come to remind somebody in the house of God tonight that if God has started something in you, if He's been the author of your faith, if He's begun a good work in you, He's going to carry out that work. He's going to continue that work until His plan is brought about in your life. You may not always be able to see the will of God. You may not always be able to see what God is trying to do, but as long as you keep your hand in the hand of the Lord, as long as you're trusting in the God that cannot fail, my friend, God will bring about His plan in your life. We find that God delivered the Israelites many times. He delivered them from slavery and from bondage in Egypt. He delivered them from Egypt once again at the Red Sea. Amalek rose up to fight Israel in Rephidim. But when Moses had his hands raised toward heaven, God won the victory. Moses made a memorial there and said, "Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner." All throughout the Bible, when Israel walked in obedience to the word of the Lord, the blessing of God was upon them. The Lord fought on their behalf. And my friend, things are still the same way today. When you walk in obedience to God and you walk in obedience to His word, the blessing of God is invited on your life. Say amen to me. When you walk in obedience to the word of the Lord, when it's by those precepts in that Bible that you live, you invite the blessing of God. You invite the favor of God on your life. And when Israel walked in obedience to the word of the Lord, the blessing of God was upon them. But we come to Numbers chapter 13, where we've taken our text tonight. We find that the children of Israel are in the wilderness of Paran, and God tells Moses to send out spies to analyze and to survey the land of Canaan. Moses sends them out, one from every tribe. He wanted to know, first of all, what was the land like? What was the status of that land? And secondly, were the inhabitants of that promised land strong or were they weak? They were sent out. Those spies came back 40 days later. And they brought with them grapes and other fruits with them as proofs to the goodness of that country. They put the cluster of grapes on a staff, and two men carried it to make sure that those grapes were not spoiled, to make sure that those grapes were presented to Moses and shown to Moses to show that this was in fact the land that God had promised to them. To show without the shadow of a doubt, this is that promised land. This is that promised country. And when they arrive, they're beginning to give their report of the land of Canaan. They said, for just a few moments, I'd like to share with you the different things that they gave in that report. They began to speak about this land of Canaan, how that it was the promised land. They began to speak about how it was exactly that which God had promised to them. But we've got to understand a few things about the land of Canaan tonight before we move any further. I just want to stop and teach for just a moment, if you'll permit me. We find that many in our world today, many in the church today, equate Canaan with heaven. They equate Canaan with heaven and say that Canaan is representative of heaven. But when you study the Word of God, Canaan was a place on the earth. So Canaan is not representative of heaven, but rather Canaan is God's perfect will for your life. Egypt, we find that Israel was in the book of Exodus, the place of slavery, the place of sin, the place of bondage. That's what Egypt was. Somebody help me preach tonight for just a little while and I'll quit soon. We find that Egypt was the land of sin. Egypt was the land of slavery. Egypt was the land of bondage. But when they were brought out of Egypt, they were taken to the promised land. So Canaan is representative of God's perfect will for your life. When we're born into this world, we're all born in a spiritual Egypt. We're all born in a land of bondage. We're all born in a land of slavery. But when we are saved, we come out from Egypt. We leave the place of sin and we move to the place of God's will for our life. That song on page 287 in the church hymnal is correct when it said, Egypt was once my home. I was a slave, helpless. In sin did roam and love's light did crave. But when I looked up to heaven's dome, Christ came to save. And I'm living in Canaan now. I'm living on Canaan's side. Egypt is behind. I've crossed over Jordan wide. Gladness to find my soul is satisfied tonight, and I'm no longer blind because I'm living with Jesus up in Canaan right now. I'm not waiting to make it to the promised land. I'm not waiting to walk in the will of God. But as long as I'm looking unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of my faith, I don't have to wait to get to Canaan, but I can walk in the will of God. I don't have to walk in slavery and bondage in Egypt, but I can live and move and breathe in Canaan's fair land. In Exodus 3 and 8, God promised that there would be a land flowing with milk and with honey. It was a land of blessing. And when the spies came back, the first thing that they said was this: we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They said it's a land that is flowing with milk and with honey. Now milk, when you study the word, is representative of your needs. When a baby is born, that baby is given milk to sustain them, to grow them, to nourish their bodies, that they can grow up into adults. They're given milk to grow. They're given milk as their need for that day. And God has promised us in His Word that He will supply all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So when you're living in Canaan, when you're walking in the will of God, your needs will be supplied. Say amen right there. When you're walking in the will of God, when you're walking in the way that God has told you to go, your needs will be supplied. You can have the milk taken care of. But not only did God say this was going to be a land of milk, He said it was going to be a land of honey. Now, honey is a sweet thing. Honey is a good thing. Some of you like to take honey and you can sweeten tea. You can sweeten coffee with honey. I know I do it all the time when I'm preaching revivals in different places. I can sweeten tea. I can sweeten the coffee with honey and it'll help my voice. It'll help my throat. There's many good things about honey. You can slather that stuff on a biscuit and make a biscuit taste real good. There's some of you I haven't got an amen out of all night that you just said amen right there. Honey is a sweet thing. Honey is a good thing. And God said that when you walk in His will, you'll have the milk, you'll have your needs supplied, but you'll also have the honey. You'll have the abundance. You'll have the blessing of God. God has promised us in His word, yes, I'm going to supply your need, but He'll also throw a little bit of honey in there with it. I know that tonight God has supplied my need of salvation. I was a sinner. I was lost and dying and on the way to hell, but I looked unto Jesus and He saved my soul. He took care of my need of salvation. But tonight I've not only got the milk, I've got the honey. I know that my soul is saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. But tonight I can have the honey and join together with the people of God on a Sunday night, singing the songs of Zion, preaching the word of God and experiencing the presence of the Lord. I can have the honey tonight because I'm filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I've got the honey tonight because the Lord's blessing is on my life. And it's not of my own work, it's not of my own flesh, but it's the will of God. We find that the spies bring back the fruit. They bring back the grapes on the staff between two men. They're giving that report to Moses. And there are three important aspects of this passage that I want to emphasize to you tonight. First of all, we find the doubt of those 10 spies. We find the doubt of those 10 spies, and for tonight I'll call them the grasshoppers. First of all, we find the doubt of the grasshoppers. They began by telling what they had seen. No one could deny that this land was plentiful. They told about the fruit and how that this land was exactly what God had told them about. But then they began to speak about the problems. They began to speak about the negative things surrounding this land. They said that they saw strong people. They said we saw walled and fortified cities. They said we saw a land that eats up the inhabitants. They said we looked across that land and we saw giants. But then notice what they said at the very end of verse 33. They said we saw the giants, yes, but then we looked back at our own selves. We looked at how we compared and measured up to them. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Nothing more than an insignificant, minuscule insect. We looked at ourselves and compared to these great and mighty warriors. Compared to these giants, we were nothing more than grasshoppers in their sight. And if I may, I'm going to stop and preach to you just for a moment. The way that you view yourself is how your enemy is going to view you. The way that you view yourself is how the enemy of your soul is going to view you. If you look in the mirror every day and all you can see is a defeated Christian, the devil knows that you're a defeated Christian. Say amen. If you look at yourself every day and say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stand any more of the devil's attacks. The devil's going to throw everything on you that he's got. He's going to throw every attack on you that he has. The way that you view yourself will be the way that the enemy of your soul views you. Those giants that he'll put in your way to make you look like a small, minuscule insect. Those giants that he'll put in your way to make you look at yourself and say, I'm nothing more than just an insignificant insignificant nobody, that the scripture told us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. The scripture told us that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. So I know tonight that I don't have to be filled with doubt. I don't have to be filled with worry. I don't have to be filled with fear, because I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, the one that's loved me and purchased me with his own blood. They saw how plentiful the land was. They knew that it was the land God had promised them. But promise is one thing and possession is another. God has made us promises in his word. Many promises that cannot be numbered. But we know that it may take a while to possess the promise. You may have to endure some things in your life before you can grab a hold of the promise of God in your life. I think of heaven tonight. I have the promise of a better country. I have the promise tonight of a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. I have the promise tonight of a kingdom that is out of this world. No, I haven't made it there yet. I'm not walking on streets of gold tonight. I'm standing here preaching to you. I've not made it to heaven yet. I'm not walking upon those streets of gold yet, but I still have the promise of God. God has made the promise to me in Matthew 24 and 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I know tonight that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to that city. I'm on my way to that kingdom. Why? Because I have the promise of God in my life. I have the promise of God that if I will but endure through the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, one of these days I'm going to possess the promise. One of these days I'm going to live in heaven with my Savior who died for me. I know tonight that I'm on my way to heaven, and the journey is still getting sweeter every day. I didn't get in this thing tonight to throw in the towel. I didn't get in this thing tonight so that I could quit. But I've got something in me that's made a decision. I'm going to make it to the city. I'm going to possess the promise one of these days. Hebrews 6 and 11 says, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." Sometimes God doesn't just stick out a silver platter to us and give us his promise, give us the possession of that promise. But sometimes we possess the promise of God through faith and patience, that knowing God is going to work out what he said he would do. Knowing that God is going to be faithful to his word. He's going to be faithful to every promise that he's ever made. Because if God makes you a promise as a child of God, if God tells you this is what I'm going to do, he will help you. He will empower you. He will give you the strength that you need to possess the promise. But here is the issue with those 10 spies. Here is the issue with those spies that were gathered there. They doubted God. Doubt will always stand in the way of promise, because doubt always focuses on the problem. Doubt can't even get to the promise because all it can look at is the difficulties that are all around. Doubt and unbelief, they see the difficulties, but faith looks ahead and sees the victory. But these spies, they were looking around and they were using the language of unbelief. They said, "We saw these people, we saw this land, and we are not able to go up against them. We are not able to stand in their face." And they began to let their hearts and their minds and their souls be filled with doubt and be filled to worry, because they could not possess that promise. Matthew Henry said, "Unbelief overlooks the promise and power of God. It magnifies every danger and difficulty, and it fills the heart with discouragement." These men had the mentality of a grasshopper. They said that these people are way too big for us to go up against. We are nothing more than little grasshoppers compared to them. My friend, at some point in your life, you've got to stop focusing on the giants that are around you and focus on the God that is bigger than any giant. Sometimes God puts us in situations that are too big for us to bear. There's a shocker. People have told you all of your life that God will never give you no more than you can bear. That's not the truth. He'll give you more than you can bear. He'll allow you to go through more than you can handle. But He'll never give you more than you can handle with Him. If you try to do it in your own self, if you try to stand against the enemy in your own self, you're going to fall. You're going to fail every time. But He'll never allow you to go through more than you can handle with His hand in yours. He'll never allow you to go through more than you can handle as long as you're trusting and believing Him for every step, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We find that here is the problem with doubt. The unbelief that they had caused them to lose out on the promise. The Bible said that according to the 40 days they searched, they would have to wander for 40 years in the wilderness to make sure that that whole generation died out. So we find, yes, there was the doubt of the grasshoppers, but secondly, we find the determination of the giant slayers. They had determination. They had faith. And in the midst of all the doubting grasshoppers, Caleb and Joshua, two men of God, two mighty warriors for the Lord, stood up ready to fight the giants and to possess the land. Verse 30 said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And then we find in chapter 14 that they spoke up and said in verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. That means that they're nothing more than a meal than we're getting ready to devour. They're a meal we're going to pull out the chair from the table. We're going to sit down and we're going to eat the bread. I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. They are bread for us. They're a meal that we're about to devour because of the power of God that is in us. They said their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Don't have fear in your heart for the giants that are standing in your way. Don't have fear overtake your soul because of what is going on in the world around us. Why? Because the Lord is with us. We serve the God that is standing with us. And that was what set them apart from the majority. That was what set them apart from the doubting grasshoppers. They had faith that had filled their soul to overflowing. It was a doubt that was inside of them. It wasn't worry that was inside of them. But they said, I know in whom I have believed. I know the God that I'm serving tonight is able to keep me against any enemy that I'll ever come in contact with. Hebrews 11 and 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 said that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The majority out there, those 10 spies that came back, they were filled with doubt. They were filled with unbelief. But these two giant slayers had a different mentality. These two giant slayers had the mentality that we're going to fight the giants and we're going to take the land. We're going to do what God has called us to do. My friend, the majority is not always right. I'll just stop right there for a moment. The majority is not always right. In that group of spies that Moses sent out, the majority said, we're not able to defeat the giants. The majority said, we're not able to take the land. We're too weak. We're unable to stand in the face of such a great enemy. We're unable to go out and fight them because we're going to lose. They were filled with doubt. They were filled with fear. They were filled with worry. And they were missing one important element of faith. They were missing it completely. But there were those that believed because the majority said we're unable, that they had no power. There were those that believed because the majority was saying the enemy's too great. They believed that we can't go up against them. Say amen right there. But the majority is not always right. The majority in our world today are pushing for things. They're promoting things that go against God and against His holy word. The majority today is saying that ungodly lifestyles and ungodly choices are to be pushed up on a pedestal. They're to be praised and they are to be accepted and permissible in our world today. The majority today hates biblical Christianity. They hate the word of God. They hate the standards. They hate the morals that we abide by. They hate the word. That I can tell you, even in the midst of a doubting generation, in the midst of a doubting generation that's filled with grasshoppers, that'll stand in schoolrooms and tell our students that there is no God, in the midst of a grasshopper that'll stand up on a platform before thousands of people and say that it's all right to kill babies and it's all right for men to marry men. Oh, I'm preaching where we're living right now. In the midst of a grasshopper that'll stand up and tell all of that mess, I still believe tonight that God has a majority. God has a people that will stand up and that will arise and say, no matter what this world is doing, I'm going to stand. I'm going to believe God and I'm going to have faith in His word tonight. Joshua said in chapter 24 and verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to be filled with doubt. We're not going to be filled with fear, but we're going to have faith that God is able to do what He said He would do. I am determined to serve God and to have faith in Him, because I'm not going to be a doubting grasshopper. Say amen right there. Here was the mentality of the giant slayers. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Those grasshoppers out there, they were looking at what their sight had to tell them. And they were not looking through the eyes of faith. They were not looking with a sight that was focused on what God can do. You must have faith in God. The situations will look impossible, but we serve the God of the impossible tonight. Because Caleb and Joshua had faith in God. When all of the rest of that generation had to die, God allowed Caleb and Joshua to enter into the promised land. 1 Kings 8 and 56 says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto His people Israel according to all that He hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses His servant. Numbers 23 and 19 said, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? You can still take God at His word tonight. You don't have to be filled with doubt, even in the midst of a world of uncertainty, in the midst of a world that we can't understand all that's going on. You don't have to be filled with doubt, but you, as the church of the living God, need to be filled with faith that comes from the Lord. We find not only the doubt of the grasshoppers, the determination of the giant slayers, but thirdly and finally, and I'm going to close, the deliverance of our God. It may have taken time, but God delivered the enemy to the hands of Joshua and Caleb, because they believed and trusted in Him. Problems will always come in life. There will always be a battle to fight. There will always be an enemy that stands out in front of you. There will always be a giant standing in your way. But I've come to tell you tonight, we have the God of the Bible on our side. We have the Word of God that does not lie, and that is truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that Psalm 23 and 4 said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Say amen right there, somebody. Thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. We know Psalm 27 and 1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 56 and 4 said, in God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 6 said, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, that God is for me. Verse 11 said, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Psalm 118 and 6, it said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Romans 8 and 31 said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Hebrews 13 and verse 5 said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, and I'll never forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. You can take God at his word tonight. You may look around at the world that you're living in. All you can see is giants. Fortified cities and tough lands. You may look at your situation and think that you're a grasshopper, but because of the God that you serve, you can be a giant slayer. You can take God at his word. Caleb and Joshua had faith in God, and because of that, the Lord allowed them to enter the promised land. Deuteronomy 1 and 34, Moses speaking, and the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb and Joshua the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Because he hath wholly followed the Lord. All of those other men, all of those other grasshoppers, those doubting men were never heard from again. But because Joshua and Caleb showed simple faith in God, they were brought into the promised land. But not only that, they were brought into leadership positions because they had faith. There's people that you're not going to understand why God promotes them. And the simple reason is because they have faith to believe God. These men believed God. They took him at his word, and they were brought into leadership positions. God can do the same thing for you tonight. You don't have to live under the bar. You don't have to be a grasshopper, but you can be a giant slayer because of the power of the God that we are serving tonight. Brother, if you would come to the pianos. Everyone is standing all across this place. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you for the word of the Lord tonight. I pray that you would let your word work in our hearts. That you would let your word stir in us faith like we've never had before. That we would listen to what your word has to say, and we would believe you even when it doesn't make sense. Even when we can't understand. Even when all of the world is crashing in on us. Give us faith that can stand through the storm. Lord, help us tonight, we pray. I want to invite everyone that will, everyone that's able, let's find a place in this altar. You can distance yourselves how you please, but let's find a place to pray. Let's find a place to talk to God, to believe Him, to believe His Word.